Good morning. Let's all stand together. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. We're so glad that you are here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come together to worship, praise, and magnify your name. God, just be with us in this place today, God. We give all glory and praise to you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your help, your love, and all that you do for us, Lord. I just pray your blessing on this service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
God, in the presence of my enemies, I raise a
morning. Amen. 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 How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Come on. Come on. There's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And we give our time to a lot of things throughout the week, don't we? We should never forget to give time to the Lord, the one who came to save, redeem, rescue, and to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. You can be seated this morning in the house. Thank you. I want to just welcome those of you that maybe are here visiting today. If you're a visitor today, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you would take that card and fill it out and put it in the offering bag, it's going to pass in just a little bit. That just gives a record of your attendance. It helps us to know that you come to visit with us, and we would appreciate that. And we want to say once again, welcome, 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 welcome. Got a few announcements for you this morning and tonight. Tonight we are having another Connect Group experience, and we're going bowling. And I've had it. Yes, all right, come on now, some people clapping. Yeah, we're going bowling, and a couple of people I can already tell you are getting a little competitive about it. And somebody told me they were in a league, so they're going to bowl on a lane way away from me. And my wife says I can't have the bumpers. But we'll see. So, but if you'd love to go bowling with us tonight, we would love for you to go bowling with us. All we would really ask is that you would put your name on the sign up out there. That's just so that when 5 o'clock rolls around and it's time to bowl, I'll know who to look for. I know who's coming. And we've got about 40 something signed up so far. We have plenty of room for more, and would love for you to come and be a part of it. It's $10 a person. Or if your family's larger than four people, then it's $40 per family. So that way we keep the cost down for those who have maybe lots and lots of kids. And how many know I'm sympathetic to that? Amen? Come on now. Come on. Come on. So love for you to come bowling with us. It's a great time of fellowship and fun. And you can come watch me beat Lance Ridenour. So he's not even in here. Also, next week, next Sunday morning, we have the McCumber, Matt and Randy McCumber, and their four daughters will be with us presenting their ministry, their missionaries to Israel, and we're going to be excited to hear from them and what's happening in and through their ministry and their lives. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that next Sunday morning. Make sure that you're here. And then the following Wednesday, so not this Wednesday, but the 24th, we won't have any services on that Wednesday night. So make sure you note that on your schedule, or you're going to come up here and be really, really confused and wonder what's happening. Which some of you come anyway really confused, but it'll be extra confused this time. So thank you. Thank you very much. And then last but not least, we have our big Christmas outreach coming up on December 11th, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. It's called Christmas in the Hood, we serve food. We help with Candy Walk, which is presenting the Bible story. We help in with security. We help with games. We help in all kinds of different areas. And so if you'd like to be a part of helping that day, there's a sign up for that out on the table. And also, we are a part of a bigger effort to make sure that every kid 15 and under that attends the event gets a gift. And so we create shoebox gifts, and all the information on the table is back there. You'll sign up, whether it's there's a clipboard that has the boys or the girls, and then by age. And so you'll sign up for like a 0 to 3 or 4 to 6 or whatever age you want to make a gift for. And those are due back in about 3 weeks. So we've got 3 weeks till those have to be turned in. And our goal is to at least have 100 from our church, and the ministry down there, Inner City Church, has to have between 800 to 1,000. That's how many families and young people that come and are a part of this ministry and this outreach. And so it's always an awesome experience every year. So no, in whatever way you want to volunteer, we want to say thank you in advance. And if you have any questions, you can obviously always come find me and ask, okay? We're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Man, I'm telling you what, it has been a good time and a good season. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. Looking forward. How many of you, really quick, how many of you already have your Christmas tree up? Come on. How many have your Christmas tree up? All right. Mm-hmm. How many of you say you can't put your Christmas tree up until after Thanksgiving? That's my people right there. That's my people. I saw a meme on Facebook that said, for every Christmas tree that's put up before Thanksgiving, an elf kills a baby deer. So Don't kill the messenger, okay? Let's pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. And Lord, as we give back with a cheerful heart, may you multiply it. May you use it to further the kingdom of God and allow people to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. If the Caleb Lance family would come up, Caleb and Jessica, we get to do a baby dedication. One of the great joys of being a pastor is you get to do a baby dedication. It's even a greater joy when that baby that you're dedicating is your granddaughter. And so what a joy to be able to dedicate Kindler Grace Lance to the Lord. I think that I have had the privilege of dedicating all seven of my grandchildren, I believe. I think I have. And so this is the seventh. She's a cutie. She takes after her papaw. So papaws, right? Yeah. This is Jessica's mom and dad, Terrell and Michelle Fry. And of course, my wife, Carol, and my son, Caleb. Daughter-in-love, Jessica. Big brother, Cruz. And Kindler Grace. One of the purpose of a dedication is threefold. First of all, we give thanks to God, the creator of all things and the giver of life. In behalf of the parents, we offer the child in dedication to God, requesting his guidance in the child's life, protection from destructive influences in the world, and for health and prosperity. Secondly, we make a solemn promise as parents and as a church that with the help of God and by working together in partnership, we will bring up little Kindler in the instruction of the Lord. And then thirdly, we will ask God's blessing upon these who dedicate themselves to Christian parenthood, that they may live faithfully so that Kindler will mature as they are guided by the parents, receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of her life. We want that to happen in Kindler's life. How many of you know dedicating a child to the Lord doesn't guarantee their salvation? That child must come to a place in their life where they accept Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. Really, the dedication is more about mom and dad and grandparents and us as a church dedicating ourselves to helping little Kindler grow up to love the Lord and then, of course, just praying God's blessing over her. So in Mark chapter 10, it says people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the kingdom of God come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and bless them. So I'm going to ask the parents here some questions here, and would you just respond by saying we do. Recognizing the vast responsibility of parenthood with your dependence upon God for strength and wisdom to faithfully discharge your duties as parents, do you now present Kindler Grace before God in solemn dedication? As mother and father, do you covenant together with God to bring up Kindler in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to assist your child in growing as did Jesus in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men? Because you desire for Kindler a knowledge of the Scripture and a loving, obedient attitude toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ, do you promise to use your home and the ministries of the church to accomplish this end? Realizing your weakness and human frailties, do you desire to reconsecrate your lives to Christ that you may live exemplary lives before Kindler? Last of all, Kendler will not remember this day. Tell her early in life of this service and of the covenant that you have made on her behalf. As a congregation, let me invite you to respond, we do, with a couple of statements here. Recognizing the responsibility that you have as a church body toward Kendler, do you agree to deal with her lovingly and tenderly, seeking to manifest the Christian spirit toward her always? Do you promise to provide spiritual instruction for her at this church, giving of your time, talents, and money to make this possible so long as you are a part of this church family? And last of all, do you promise to encourage these parents as they seek to do what they have already promised in bringing up Kendler in the fear and admonition of the Lord? All right. Little Kendler Grace Lance, she is how old today? 3.5 months. See, don't we look alike? Love you, Kendler. Extend your hand towards this little one and let's pray God's blessing not only on her but on this family. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of life. We thank you for Kendler Grace. I pray that you keep your hand upon her. I pray that you watch over her all the days of her life. I pray that she grows up one day to love you, to serve you, to find that right spouse that you have ordained for her, Lord, and for her life to be a great blessing. I pray, God, that you just keep her healthy and strong, and may she grow up in a great home and in a great church and grow up to love you and serve you. We just pray your blessing upon her and upon Jessica and Caleb and Cruz and all of the family. Bless them with your comfort, peace, strength, and help in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give him a hand once again. It's good to have other members of their family too. Jessica's sister Kim and her husband Clint and their two boys, and Terrell's mom is here, and of course some members of our family, Kelsey and others. So, amen. Well, worship team, come back and let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Flows through my veins.
Your love was greater. What can say?
Jesus. You are the King of Kings, Lord God. You are the Lord of Lords, and you reign in majesty, God. We worship your name, Jesus. There is no one worthy, God. There is no one worthy. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We worship you, Jesus. I've lived stories that have proved your faithfulness. Let's try it again. I've seen stories that have proved your faithfulness. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. And I believe you're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen are too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. And you heal because you love. Oh, the miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. Yeah. And I can't resurrect a man with my own hands. But the mention of your name can raise the dead. So all the glory to the only one who can. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. Oh, I believe the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God, and you heal because you love. Oh, the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. You're too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, you're too good to not believe. Can we worship you, Jesus? And I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see cities in revival. The salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me. I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. You're too good to not believe. Jesus, you're too good to not believe. Jesus, oh, I believe. Oh, God, I believe. Jesus.
There's nothing God can't do, right? Too good to not believe. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Amen. We want to remember some people in prayer this morning. Terry and Terry Bartholow both wanted us to remember them in prayer this morning. Actually, Terry fell, I think it was last week, in the parking lot and had some balance issues, so we want to pray for them. Sister Boykin is weak, needs our prayers. Shirley Grindstaff is having some back problems, possible surgery. Cheryl Brown recovering from surgery. Tony Keller, let's pray for Tony today. Robert Smith is feeling very weak. Remember Gail Freeman in prayer. Gary Dalrymple's mom, Jessie, needs a touch from the Lord this morning. And some of you may remember the Whitus family. Donald Whitus went to be with the Lord early this morning. He was kind of served as Brother Boykin's associate way back at 36 years ago nearly, and he passed away today. So we want to pray for these. Do you have an unspoken need this morning, something on your heart? Amen. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you, Lord, that there's not anything that you can't do. Lord, we call upon you knowing that you hear us when we pray, knowing that you're alive. Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of the Father after walking 33 years on this earth, being crucified on the cross, being laid in a tomb, 3 days later rose again, 40 days later ascended back to heaven, where you've been for the last 2,000 years interceding and praying for the saints. So, Father, this morning we lift up Terry and Terry Bartholow. We lift up Sister Boykin. We lift up Shirley. We lift up Cheryl. We lift up Tony, Robert, Gail. We lift up Jesse. We lift up the Whitus family. We lift up a whole lot of needs this morning that were signified by uplifted hand. God, we thank you that there is not anything too hard for you. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for revival. We pray, God, that you would just touch and move, just as we sang, cities in revival, lives being changed, people being healed, addicts set free. Lord, we just pray that you just cover this earth with your glory. Before you come back and before things change, Lord, in a very, very significant way, as is prophesied in the Word of God, I pray that we would just see a massive, mighty revival in our world and right here in our own beloved United States. God, let your will be done today. Let your will be done in every person's life here this morning. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I failed to mention, I mentioned Terrell's mom, but also Michelle's mom is here this morning. Jessica's, both of her grandmas, and so we're glad they're here today. Amen. Pastor Phil's coming to speak this morning. We appreciate his hard-working associate. I'm proud that he works alongside me, keeps me going, keeps me moving, makes me feel older, sometimes younger, sometimes in the middle, but all in all, he's a great guy. So give it up for Pastor Phil.
Yeah, sometimes I make Pastor do things he doesn't want to do. Like change the toner in the copier. It's a great story. I'm excited to speak this morning, and How many of your life just gets, it just gets busy, Yeah, yeah, I find myself pretty busy most of the time. And, you know, it, I think what happens in the business of life is then when you have those quiet moments, those times you just get alone with the Lord, you know, he just, those are so awesome. Because it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, kind of like a bubble, you know, and it just kind of, you're in this bubble and all the busyness, you know, it's still going on around you, but for just those moments, it's just you and Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. Those are just awesome, awesome moments. And so hopefully we can kind of push aside the busyness of life for the next little bit here. And maybe let's ask the Lord to put a bubble over the top of us and we can really just be encouraged today and have some time with Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to open up with a passage out of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I'm going to read all the way to 38. So I'm going to do a lot of reading today. The title of my message is called The Power of the Call. And so here's Romans 8, 28 says, And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. How many love Jesus today? Come on. And who have been called according to his purpose. We've been called. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, with the brothers and sisters of Christ. And those he predestined, he also called. Everybody say called. Called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then? I love this. What then shall we say in response to these things? The things that have just been illuminated to us in these scriptures. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Can I say for a minute, I illustrated this the other day, or illuminated this to our young people. I said, you know, we think of God and we think of God the Father and we think of Jesus, but sometimes we forget that the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God. We remember that part, but that what he's doing there is interceding for us. Come on now. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Verse 35. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 36. And as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And we can say, amen, amen. As I've told you, the title of my message today is called The Power of the Call. And I want to talk about calling today. And I want to start off by talking and illustrating this by talking about my own personal call to ministry. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to share with you and we're going to learn today a little bit. So I was just like any normal high schooler trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up, right? And I got bigger, but I'm not sure I grew up, but I'm trying. And I'd come down to two things. I told my parents, I'm going to do one of two things, and neither one was preaching. It was either I wanted to be a pediatrician because I wanted to help little kids. I wanted to help kids or children, or I wanted to be a lawyer so I could argue with people. Little did I know all those years later that I would be a youth pastor, associate pastor, so I'd still be helping kids. And I'd be a mayor, so I get to argue with people. But I thought I'd be a pediatrician or a lawyer, and honestly, I chose those two for those reasons, and then they also had a commonality, and that was that I could make a lot of money. And so I thought that did not come true. Wait a second. That part fell through. All right. And it was in my junior year of high school. One night I was going to bed. And how many have ever tried to go to sleep and your mind is just racing? You know what I mean? Just thinking and thinking and thinking. And I probably had happened before, but this time it seemed different because I absolutely could not go to sleep. I could not get to sleep. And so I laid there, and I could remember like it was yesterday. I remember the Lord saying to me, "Get up and write down what I'm giving you." And so I got up out of my bed, and I turned on the light, my desk was right next to my bed, and I got a yellow legal pad out, and I began to write down just feverishly. Pastor, you ever done that? The Lord's just giving you stuff, and you're writing faster than you're thinking, and you don't even know all that you're writing. You're just writing it, and you know it's good, you know it's from the Lord, but you don't know what it's all about yet. And I'm writing, and I'm writing, and writing, and I filled several pages on a legal pad of all these thoughts the Lord had given me. And then it was like an instant. My mind was at ease. And I barely can even remember getting back into bed. The next thing I remember is waking up the next morning and looking over at that legal pad, and the Lord saying to me at that moment, "That is a message I've given you, and I want you to preach it in chapel at your school." I went to a Christian school, and we had chapel once a week. And so the Lord said, "I want you to preach that in chapel." And I'm like, "Preach it in chapel?" So, you know, and so how many of you ever negotiated with the Lord? I mean, you know, you never win, right? So it's not a good idea. But I was like, "Well, you know, Lord, I mean, the only people who ever speak in chapel are like local pastors. They would bring them in, or maybe one of our teachers or our principal. That the students aren't, I don't even know if a student's allowed to preach, you know?" And he said, I want you to preach in chapel." I said, "Okay, well, I'll go ask Mr. Hedges." That was my principal. I said, "I'll go ask him." In the back of my mind, I'm thinking as if the Lord doesn't know, right, what I'm thinking. I was like, "He is never going to let me preach this in chapel." And so I go in, I bebop in. Normally when I'm going to the principal's office, it's to tell him that I was going to go get some bagels. We have a closed campus, but I'd figured out that if I got him a bagel, I could go get a bagel. So I say, "Hey, you want a bagel, Mr. Hedges?" But this day I went in and I said to Mr. Hedges, I told him the story, and I said, "Hey, I think the Lord's giving me a message and he wants me to preach it in chapel." And he said to me, "That's great. Our chapel speaker for next week just canceled." Yeah. "You're on for next week." And I said, "Goody." This is going to be great. And I don't know that it was the most inspirational moment for the people who heard the message, but it was a transforming moment for the one who was delivering it. Because it was after I delivered that message that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Now, this is what I want you to do with your life." Sometimes the Lord just needs obedience to open up the vision that he has for us. The interesting thing about my call to ministry is that because I have a call, it wasn't some tangible decision like I had decided, "I'm going to be a pediatrician one day," or "I'm going to be a lawyer one day." This was a call from the Lord. And because I had that call, that moment, that story that I've told to many before and I've told to you today, it has kept me anchored to the mission and vision of what God has for me, my purpose. Can I tell you something? Life comes with storms. And sometimes when the storms of life come, when things happen in your life that cause you to think, "I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to be doing," you need that anchor. You need the anchor of the call of God. And I want to encourage you today that we all have a call. Every person in this room has a call. Maybe not a call to full-time ministry like Brother Gherkin had and is continuing to even honor as in retirement as he fills in at other churches and blesses multiple congregations. Maybe not a call to full-time ministry like Pastor Steve has or I have, but we all have a call. We are called to his purpose. We are called to his purpose. And I want to share with you some thoughts real quick about the call before I even get into my main points, and that's this. His call isn't based on merit. It's not based on how good we are. Romans 5:8 says this, that even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can I tell you something? If God waited for us to be good enough to be called, we would never be called. The calling is never based on merit. I hear it all the time. They say, well, I just need to get some things right in my life. Well, I'm just not mature enough in my walk yet. Well, I just can't, God wouldn't call me. Well, the call's not based on merit or ability. Or how good you are. The call is based upon him who is inside of you. The call's always got to be anchored. If I get up here and I give you Phil Freeman, then we might as well all go home. We might as well all go hit the Golden Corral. I heard it's really good. They reopened it, by the way. Heard it's very good. Make you all hungry during the message. If I was just offering you me, we might as well go home. What I'm offering you is what God, the God that's inside of me, that speaks to us and encourages us about our call. The call isn't singular, but it's plural. It says it, throughout Romans 8, if we, it uses the word we. It didn't say you or I, it says we. And we refers to the church, the entire body. We are called. We are glorified. We. And his call was set to require a response. Think about it for a minute. What if in the story I told you, what if the Lord had given me all that? What if I hadn't gotten up and written it down? What if after I'd written it down and I got up and the Lord told me and I said, now, and put that in the drawer. What if I had never gone to ask Mr. Hedges about preaching that message? I've thought about that many times, Pastor. What if I hadn't been obedient? Where would I be? Do I think that God would have turned his back on me? No. Do I think that God would have forsaken me? No. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But I do think that to walk in the blessing of the Lord, you have to walk in the call of the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 6 says it this way. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. Apparently, me being a pediatrician, wasn't the plan, all right? While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken into you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Can't bear fruit without God. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Our faith in him, listen to me very carefully, our faith in him and our unity with his will is what identifies us as part of the body. Not just attendance, not just sitting here, not just signing up for things, but it says our faith in him, our faith that Jesus is the one who solidifies and validates our call, and our unity with his will, saying, yes, I will do what you've asked me to do, that's what identifies us as part of the body. How many of you have ever felt like God was pruning just a little too much? You know what I mean? Like, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Wait, except don't touch that part. God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, but you're, listen, some of the things I think you're wanting to cut away, some of the things you are wanting to cut away, I think would still be productive if you just let it. How many of you guys were here when I preached about the big bush, the vine, the thing, I don't even know what that thing is, that was in my flower bed. Remember, and I told you I cut it, and I think it's dead. And I said, I need somebody to come look at it. Well, I asked Miss Doris and Miss Elena, I said, would you please come and look at this thing? Just one, because I knew they would know. Two, because they're eternal optimists, all right? And so they're like, listen, we can save this thing. We can save this thing. So they came over and they looked at it. They came over with it. And then they came to me and they talked to me. And they said, listen, yeah, I dig that up. Yeah, that it's over for that. There's no more. Well, my parents bought their house and recently, and I was moving the arch over that thing. I've been lazy. I didn't dig it up. And guess what? It's growing. It's growing. So what I need you to understand is, let's let God, in this illustration, let's let God worry about how much needs to be pruned back. And don't worry about if man gives up on you. Because God still can grow something beautiful out of you. All right. This morning, I want us to look at four responses. Hey, I broke free from the 3 points today. Pastor will be proud of me. But let's look at four responses to the call. Number one is this. First response is this. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, this should be the number one response to the call God has on our life. If God's for me, who can be against me? We find that in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says exactly that. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, no one, at least not successfully, no one can come against us if we're in the will of God, not successfully. Now, people will try. People will try. People will come against us, right? People have spoken as you tried to serve the Lord. Has anybody ever spoken against what you tried to do? I mean, we're dealing with a culture right now that's speaking against what we believe and how we live and who we are. We didn't change our message. The Bible didn't change. We're still teaching the same values. We're still teaching the same morality. We're still teaching the same rules. We're still teaching the same things that God wants us to do and what God doesn't want us to do. But culture has changed. And if you don't know, the church is under attack. I'm not talking about the building. I haven't seen anybody knocking at our windows. I'm talking about the church body. And they'll say, well, we just need to be accepting of everyone. We just need to accept everyone. Can I tell you something? I wrote this in my notes today. The Lord actually gave this to me. I was sitting on the front row, just praying over this message again, right in the middle of Sunday school. I was sitting up here just praying, and here's what I put. The problem isn't the acceptance of people, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever will believe in him, whosoever believe in him will receive eternal life. The problem isn't the acceptance of people. The problem is our current culture's acceptance of sin. I don't have a problem with people. I got a problem with sin, because sin is dividing the people that I love in my community, in my family, in my world, from a Savior who wants to save them. So people are going to come against us, but not successfully. You see, people can come against us, but what man can cause his will to override the Lord's? What man can cause his will to override the Lord's? I tell you, no one. The creation has no power over the Creator. He breathed life into us. Without him, we wouldn't have the breath. Think about that next time. It'll make you chuckle a little bit. Next time somebody's really disagreeing with you and they're just really, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one but somebody's telling you how they really feel about something. Just as they're talking and they're just getting loud, just think that breath they're using for that, God gave it to them. Yeah. The breath that an atheist says, I don't believe in God, they can't say it without the breath, without using the breath given to them by the Creator. Let man try his best. So a boss takes your job, God will provide you an even better one. So a friend betrays you, God will provide strength and growth. the one who comes against us, his breath, his life, his being came from the Lord. You ready for this? Even Satan. Satan, who is our greatest enemy, has no power. His will is not greater than God's will. His breath came from the Lord. He was one of the angels. He was created by God. And because of free will, he now comes against God's people. And so let Satan try his best. He brings sickness, God brings healing. He brings bondage, God brings deliverance. He brings depression, God brings joy. He brings hate, God brings love. He brings death, God brings life. John 10:10 says it right here. The thief comes only to kill, steal and to kill and destroy. Oh, hold on. But I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Come on now. Come on. If God is for us, if God is for us for our calling, then who can be against us? Go ahead, Satan, try your best. You wouldn't be breathing if it wasn't for God. Someday, I cannot wait. Listen, yesterday I was in the flesh a little bit because a tragic event happened. Somebody kidnapped OU's team and put something out there that I don't know what it was. And Baylor, something happened. So Baylor beat OU. And the whole time, you know what I was thinking? Oh, my. Well, I want to play them again in the Big 12 championship. You bring them back around again. Kick a field goal with 3 seconds. We're going to show you what if, okay, you know what I mean? I was getting a little in the flesh. All right, I'm going to pray. All right, listen. I bring that up because here's the deal. Do your best right now, Satan. Do your best. Do whatever you think you can. Try your best because I've read the end of the book. And guess what? When the end comes, you are going to lose. Come on. Neither man nor Satan has power over us. The secret is to remain in the Lord's will, for his plan for us is victory. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God is for you. He loves you. If you haven't heard this lately, listen, open your ears. God is for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He is calling each of you. May we stand in his provision. May we stand in his purpose. For if we will, nothing can stand against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. Number two, our response to the call. If he gave us his son, what would he withhold from us? That's what verse 32 says. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? If he gave us his son, what would he withhold from us? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. Philippians 4:19 says it this way, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus." He didn't say some. He didn't say most. He said all. He said needs, though, not wants, people. People get on the TV and God said, you want a Lambo? God's going to give it to you. You want 3 houses, mansion, and you know, and a summer home in Cabo San Lucas? God's going to give it. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what the Bible says. But it does say he would supply all of our needs. If you will stand in the call he has on your life, he will provide everything you need. I want you to understand this. When I say everything, I mean everything. Nothing is too great for God. Nothing is too sacred for God. Nothing is off limits when it comes to the needs of God's people. You know how I know nothing's off limits? Because John 3:16 says that Jesus, he described Jesus as God's begotten son. The Greek word for begotten defines this to mean this. Pertaining, listen very carefully, begotten in the Greek means this, pertain to being the only one of its kind or class, unique. It's the only one of its kind or class. It's unique in its kind. God calls us his sons and daughters, but Jesus is his only son that shares deity with him. His only begotten son. It was unique, and it wasn't off limits. Jesus' life was not off limits when it came, not because it wasn't about a want. It was about mankind. It was about you and I's need. We had a need for salvation. There never has been, nor there will ever be another like Jesus. The power of the call demands that nothing is held back, not even the life of God's only begotten Son. Just as Christ holds nothing back, we too must match that commitment, and we must hold nothing back. Have you ever wanted to say yes to God, but there was just like everything was good except for just one thing? There was one thing he was asking you to let go of. One thing. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a job. You know your story. And you know that there's times when God, in the pursuit of fulfilling your need, asks you to let go of something. Maybe it's a need for clarity. Maybe it's a need for understanding. Maybe it's a need for mercy. Well, oftentimes, we don't even see our needs until after God's worked his process through us. Are you with me today? There have been times in ministry where I thought, Lord, I'm going to let go of these things, but I don't know why. I don't know why I'm having to let go of them. And it became so abundantly clear later. So my challenge to you with this is run towards God. Run towards his calling. And understand that every need you have, the scripture says that he will meet those needs. But we must be true to the calling of living for him. And we must be obedient to stay where he wants us to be. Just as he released his son. What is God asking you today to move forward to release? Some of you, I feel in this place, know. When I was writing this, I thought to myself, some in the room are going to know what God's been asking you. God's been asking you to release something. And you've been holding on tight. Today's the day. Today's the day to release that so you can move forward. The third response is this. Who can separate us? Who can separate us from the love of God? We find this in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who can separate us from the love of God? No one. The scripture says, no one. No force on earth can stand up against the power of God's love. There's no force on earth that can stand up. Well, what as the scripture says, what about trouble? What about we're on troubles? Does that separate us from the love of God? What about hardship? What about persecution? What about famine or nakedness or danger? What about when troubled times? I'm going to tell you the truth. In my darkest moments of life is when I felt God's love the most. But what about these things? I would tell you that all of these that I've listed, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, all that were in the scripture, their only hope for influence, listen to me very carefully, their only hope for influence and power in your life lies in your reaction and answer. They have no power against the love of God except the power that you give it through your reaction and answer. If we stand on the promises of God, nothing can separate us from him. Psalm 30, verse 1 through 5 says this, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths. It did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, we've heard this part, but rejoicing comes in the morning. What a powerful passage of scripture that tells us that we must not look at the valleys. How many ever been through a valley? Come on now. Man, they're dark. They're lonely sometimes, aren't they? Sometimes the only voice you hear in a valley, at least you feel this way, is your echo. You know what I mean? You're like, is anybody else here? Is anybody else coming? We must not look at the valleys as the deserted place, but instead view them as an oasis to be saturated by God's love. Can I tell you something? Being alone isn't always. We somewhere along the way we've decided that being alone is like a bad thing. Like, oh, there's no one around. You know, that's why, you know, like, you, I haven't got a friend request today on Facebook. Nobody liked my post. Nobody, you know, whatever. Nobody's called me today. Nobody's answering my phone call. It's not that they probably have just things they're doing. They absolutely have to be avoiding me. I've called 3 friends today, not one of them. And they haven't called me back. And that was 15 minutes ago. 15 minutes ago I called them. I've given them 15 minutes to call back. They haven't called back yet. I'm being a little facetious, but not completely. Can I tell you something? That being alone is not always bad. Sometimes God has to get us by ourselves away from the voices of men so that we can really hear his voice. I got to be honest with you. This isn't even in my notes. This just came to me. I think sometimes we get more comfortable with the hugs of men and women than we do with the hug and love of God. Sometimes we need to get away from the affirmation and the voice and the intentionally good but not always great advice that men and women give us so sometimes God takes us out. You know, the Bible says that God fasted for 40 days. He didn't fast for 40 days and hung out with the disciples. The Bible says he went out into the desert. I think it's because he wanted to hear the Father. We got to quit looking at valleys as if this desolate place and we'll start looking at them as oases where we could just be saturated by God's love and hear him more clearly than we probably have in months. So what about my own failures within? What about not the things that are from external, but what about the things that happen from within? Listen to me very carefully. God never, ever, under no circumstances, stops loving us. We are his creation, and he is our creator. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 8 says this, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if they were together with them in prison, and for those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed should be kept perfect, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. I love this. Let me go back. Remember your leaders. How many of you have had people who have guided the way? A Sunday school teacher, a pastor, an elder, a friend, a neighbor, somebody who showed you the way. Can remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Listen to this. I love this. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Don't we do that every time a saint passes away? Don't we consider, shouldn't we consider the outcome? Although we mourn for their loss, we rise up in anticipation and hope for what they have attained because they lived their life for Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not fickle. People are fickle, right? You know, you have your allegiance to some good Christian chicken at Chick-fil-A. All of a sudden, Popeyes comes up with one. Y'all turn your back on Jesus. I mean, on Chick-fil-A and his chicken. People are fickle, right? One minute they're like, you go to the, they're like, I'd like a Diet Coke. And they're like, oh, we only serve Pepsi products. And the person looks at the waiter or waitress like, what? I can't try. You don't have Coke? People are fickle. You know, one minute they like one team and then their favorite player moves and they just change to the other team. They're like, yeah, whoo, I love the Patriots, but now go Bucks, right? I'd like to make a side note. I don't have any proof, but Tom Brady, I think, did make a devil deal with the devil at some point. So it's not natural for anybody that old to still be playing football. All right, that well. People are fickle, but Jesus is not fickle. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't go, oh, man, I am waiting to see what Darren does today because I just need an excuse to get rid of him. He doesn't look around and go, oh, Pastor Steve, well, I'm just waiting to see. He's got one more strike and then it's out. So here's the great news. Knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Try your best. Nothing. Here we go. You ready? If you fall, get up. If you fail, repent. And if you turn away from God, if right now you're in this place and you've just turned your heart away from God, turn back. Because he's waiting there. He loves you as much today as he did yesterday and the day before. And as much as he's going to love you tomorrow because he's the same every single day. Death has no victory. Paul said it this way, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Even the angels and the demons are creations. So nothing in creation can stand in the way or alter the call of the Creator. Verse 38 tells us this. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power can separate us from the love of God. Hold on to God, my friends. Hold on to his love and hold on to the call he has on your life. The last response, number four, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Verse 37 says it this way, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. By ourselves? Nope. Through him who has loved us. We just talked about his love. Because God loves us, through him, we're more than conquerors. In the Greek, this is conquerors, more than conquerors is one word. It's hypernikomen. In the entire New Testament, this compound word only occurs here, one time. And here's what it means. Hyper or hooper, depending on which translation you look at in the Greek, they use a Y or a U, but either way, means over and above, over and above. Nikomen means victors or conquerors, meaning the literal meaning of this word is, you ready for this? Paul is literally saying instead of believers being victims in a fallen world, in Christ, we are over and above victors. We're not last minute layup, Hail Mary, hope we catch it in the end zone winners. We'll run away. We'll run away over and above conquerors. That's what Jesus says. That's what the Word of God says. Instead of barely getting by in life's difficult experiences, in and through Christ, we are overwhelming conquerors. I want to encourage you today that God never intended for you to just survive. He desired deeply for you to thrive. See, Jesus gained the decisive victory for us already on the cross. When he won the victory on the cross and raised from the grave, No longer was defeat ever a question or an option. He claimed victory for us. Because of the cross and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to be more than conquerors in our struggle in life. Don, if you'd come to the keyboard, I'm gonna finish today. The power of the call is not just found in Scripture. The power of the call is all around you. It's in the lives of true believers. Look around you and you can see the power of the call. Look around you and your brothers and sisters in Christ who are living it consistently. The Bible says they'll know us by our fruit, and you see their fruit and you can see the power of the call. Many of you have walked with one another as you've walked through difficult situations, and because of God's prevailing love and call, you've been more than overcomers. Many of you have had people come against you, but they did not succeed because of the power of the call. Do you understand the realities of the four responses that we gave? In God's call, nothing nor anyone can stand against us. If we're serving the Lord, nothing can stand in the way. It can try, but it won't win. In God's call, He holds nothing back from His people. He'll supply all of our needs. Everything the world tries to throw at us, God will provide an answer and a need for. In God's call, we can't be separated from His love. Not even angels or demons can do that. In God's call, we're not just conquerors. We're not just barely winning. We're not like Kansas last night who caught the 2-point conversion, slid in at the end, beat Texas, and redeemed my day. Thank you, Lord, for that. But we're not just fly by, just barely, oh, we made it. I'm a walk on. I caught this. My name will be in history forever. Conquerors. No, we're over and above victors. We're not trying to squeak by. We're trying to reign over. The call of God. So many years ago in 1995, as I was a junior in high school, I thought I had everything lined out. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And then God's call got a hold of my life. And I said, yes. And other than salvation, and other than saying I do to my sweet wife, other than those things, those right up there, those are all the saying yes to the call of God has transformed my life. I can't promise you you'll ever be rich. And I can't promise you that you'll ever have national acclaim or be famous. I can't promise you that you'll ever win the biggest awards that man has to give out. But I promise you that if you'll get a hold of the call God has on your life, He'll take you further than you ever dreamed. You'll find yourself in the craziest places, doing the craziest things, going, how in the world did we get here? He'll supply everything you need, even some things you didn't know you needed. We got to surrender to the call. We got to surrender to the call. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you were so gracious enough to send your only son. Your unique, one of a kind, the only one you had. You didn't hold him back. You sent him. And Lord, I thank you that you've been so faithful with your call. I thank you, God, that you placed your call not just on me and Pastor Steve and others here in full-time ministry, but you placed your call of purpose on every man and woman and child in this place. Your word says greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And so right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you today, is there anybody in this place who maybe you've turned away, or maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, but today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to join in the love that you can never be separated from. And you're in this place and you want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to begin the journey of the call. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? Would you raise your hand and say, that's me today? Come on. Come on. I see those hands. Amen. 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 And secondly, even if you've given your heart to Jesus, maybe you just haven't embraced the complete call that God has on your life. You're living. You're doing good. You've got a job. Maybe your kids are doing great. Everything's going okay at home and in your life. But to be honest, it could be so much better. And you want to embrace the full potential of the call God has for you. Nothing can stand against you. Nothing could ever come against you. Nothing can separate you. This is your call. Only you. Only your response. Only your reaction determines what happens with your call. And you say, you know what? I'm going to take hold of my response today. I'm going to take hold of my reaction. And I'm going to say yes to the full call that God has on me. I'm not going to hold anything back. I understand who I am in Him. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? Would you say, I'm going to embrace the full call of what God has for me. Amen. 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 Lord, I pray for every person in this place. Lord, I pray right now for those who've raised their hand for salvation. Would the whole body repeat after me today? Just say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. I want to embrace the call. In Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team's going to come and sing here for just a second. And I want to ask that you would you find a place around the altar? We're not quite to noon yet. We've still got a few minutes intentionally. Because what I'd really like to do is for you to ask the Lord, Lord, what have I missed of the calling you have on my life? Maybe you're at 80%, you got 20 to go. Maybe you're at 90, you got 10. Maybe you're only at 10, you got a long ways. But the power of the call can never be underestimated. Today could be a changing. It could be a changing day for you, just like it was for me as a junior when I said, yes, God, I'll do as you've called me to do. Would you find a place around the altar or at your seat today? Let's take a few minutes as the worship team sings, and let's just allow the Lord to pour His calling into us today.
If I sing a thousand songs, there'd still be more to say, more to sing about you. If I had a thousand years, I'd spend them all right here. There'd still be more to say, more to sing about. Never running out of ways to praise you. I'm never running out of words, never running out of words to thank you. And I keep discovering the weight of your love for me. Oh, I need eternity to tell you how much I love you. Oh, I need eternity to tell you how much I love you. And I'm never running out of ways, never running out of ways to praise you. God, I praise you. I'm never running out of words, I'm never running out of words. God.
praise you. I'm never running out of words. I'm never running out of words to thank you. I can't help this obsession. All my affection is yours. I want all of your presence. My only prayer is more, more. I can't help this obsession. My whole affection is yours. I want all of your presence. My only prayer is more, more, more. I want you more, more, more. I want you more. Never running out of words to thank you. Oh Jesus, I'm never running out of words, never running out of ways to praise you. Oh, I'm never running out of words, I'm never running out of words to praise you. Jesus, I'm never running out of ways, never running out of ways.
I love how that song says, I love you more, more, more. I love you more. Man, as God's call becomes more evident in your life, and as you begin to work in that calling, you begin to see God begins to reveal things that he's doing and revealing. Can't help but just to love him more and more and more. I'll tell you this, you cannot give God. If you'll give him all you got, he'll give you all he's got. And can I tell you something? He's got a lot more than we do. Scripture describes it as filthy rags, actually. We just have but filthy rags. God never makes us feel that way. He just says, if you just give me what you got, I'll take it and make it something so much bigger than you've ever dreamed. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place today. I thank you, Lord, for just emphasizing to us the call that you've placed on all of our lives. Lord, I thank you in front of all these people for the call you placed on mine. Lord, has taken me places I never dreamed I would be. I met people I never dreamed I would know. I've been able to speak into lives of people I never thought I could or would be able to. And Lord, it's because of you, not because of anything I have. Lord, I thank you that you're going to pour that same calling out upon every person in this room. And what the days ahead hold, God, we already give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are loved. Hope you come bowling with us tonight. We're going to have a great time. Be blessed.